And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today, folks. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm glad and I rejoice in it. We're blessed and highly favored because we know God and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and we are hidden under his wing, and we take refuge in him. We don't have anything to worry about ultimately. That doesn't mean we don't engage. That doesn't mean we're not active. Faith without works is dead. So we've got to get involved. We've got to get at it. We can't just sit back, because without him, we can do nothing. Without us, he won't do anything because he's depending upon us to get involved. And so, folks, I know you all are involved because you're listening to this program and you're taking a stand in your families and your communities and your schools and in your churches. Yes, and even in our churches, we sometimes find ourselves having to take a clear stand. Shouldn't be necessary, but sadly, in this day and time, it is. In your workplaces, wow, that can be hard because so much of the corporate world has gone so loopy, so crazy, so far leftist that, you almost have to be prepared to lose your job just, and I'm not talking about going there and spending time when you should be working, advocating some political issue. I'm not talking about that. You shouldn't do that because if you're contracted with somebody to do a job, you ought to be there doing the job. But I'm talking about a casual comment in a normal conversation could cost your job. That's where we are in our culture today. And I'll tell you something. Most of the time I come on and I am excited to talk about the issues that I bring to you because they're important and they're urgent and I'm on fire about them. Every now and then I have to talk about an issue that I wish I didn't have to talk about, or that I really kind of don't want to talk about, but I've got to talk about it. And you all probably know exactly where I'm going. This issue in Christianity today that has called for the removal of President Donald Trump from office. Christianity today calling for the removal of President Donald Trump from office. Folks, now, look, to be fair, Christianity today ought to be called leftist Christianity today because they've gone left. They've been moving in this direction for a number of years. That's why I don't subscribe to them because I kind of sensed it a long time ago. I used to get Christianity Today. I stopped because I kind of sensed a movement in a left-wing direction, and that's just not something that's... At first, what I noticed was just a spirit of compromise, a spirit of mealy-mouth, milquetoast kind of, we don't really stand for anything, so don't anybody get offended by us. Now apparently they've gone full-blown leftist because they really believe that these impeachment proceedings by these left-wing crazies in Congress somehow has proved that the president should be removed from office. Now, you've got to have BBs for brains to believe that. You really do. You've got to have BBs for brains to believe that. Because the best anybody can say is, here's how we interpret the conversation that the president had with Ukraine President Zelensky. We interpret it a certain way. You can't say the president said, I want you to investigate the Bidens because it's going to help me in my campaign. Or I want you to investigate the Bidens because he may run against me and I don't like him. Or I want you to investigate the Bidens because I want you to get involved in our elections and help me win re-election. No. And as I've put into context before, Ukraine is one of the most corrupt nations on the face of the earth. I hope President Zelensky is able to change that. And I think that's what President Trump wants. But I also explained to you all that $1.8 billion in loan guaranteed money guaranteed by the United States of America, disappeared. We, you, and I, the taxpayers, are on the hook for that money. I say we ought to give the President of the United States, President Donald J. Trump, a medal for being willing to ask the hard question. Will you investigate? And by the way, the company involved in the disappearance of that money is none other than Burisma, the company that Hunter Biden, whose board Hunter Biden sat on to the tune of $1 million a year for 3 years. He made $3 million sitting on the board of Burisma, doing nothing, because he's not an expert at any of that. He's not an energy expert by any stretch of the imagination. He was simply trafficking in his father's influence, who was given Ukraine as his portfolio as vice president. Joe Biden was point man for the Obama administration in Ukraine, and basically he used that status to enrich his son. It's just that plain and simple. And for a Christian magazine to say, based upon these impeachment hearings, the president needs to be removed? Well, I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, I question your discernment. And I'm being mild. I'm going easy. I question your discernment. Now, you know, some of the people I know say, you know, they talk about liberal Christians. But you know what, folks? I really question whether there's any such thing. Now, the Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. And I am not going to deny the possibility, because Christians can be misled and Christians can get deceived and Christians can get off. And so I'm not going to doubt that a person who's actually come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, actually surrendered their lives to him, been born again, could be led astray and buy into a bunch of leftist propaganda and be surrounded by people who affirm that, and they think they're okay, when in fact, they're not at all. When in fact, what they're really doing is renouncing the very salvation that they claim to have. But if they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then I would say that that person's in a backslidden condition. But I question whether there is any such thing. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I question it. Because if you're a liberal and you support the killing of unborn babies and you support the redefinition of marriage and you support this garbage that Israel is an apartheid state oppressing the Palestinians and the poor Palestinians and Israel's just oppressing them, or you believe that the government has a right to take from you and give to someone else because the government deems that you have too much and they have too little and therefore give it up whether you like it or not. You support all of that. I have to question, do you really know God? If you doubt the reality that freedom and rights, First Amendment, right to free speech, yes, freedom of the press, although it's become for most of the mainstream media now, freedom of propaganda. It's not freedom of the press, it's freedom of propaganda. But if you believe that our right to free speech ought to be curtailed because, after all, some of what we say might be hate speech, or that we don't have a right to keep and bear arms because, after all, people do terrible things with guns, and you don't believe that those are God-given rights that the government can't take away, I have to question whether you really know it. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Many of the Democratic presidential candidates have been critical of charter schools, and you may wonder why. After all, they are public schools and have a relatively good track record. David Osborne, writing in the Wall Street Journal, documents some of these changes made against charter schools. Senator Elizabeth Warren argues that these schools strain the resources of school districts. Senator Bernie Sanders also says the growth of the charter schools has drained funding from the public school system. This is interesting, since the only difference between charter schools and other public schools is the fact that they can operate independently of district bureaucracies. Of course, that's the real reason. Osborne reminds us that no interest group has more clout in Democratic primaries than teacher unions. In the last presidential election, the American Federation of Teachers and National Education Association combined spent $64 million. Charter schools are free to unionize, but rarely do. Only about 11% of them chose to do so. As the charter school movement grows, union influence shrinks. Charter schools are quite successful and provide an alternative to millions of students, two-thirds of which are non-white. Graduation rates, college-going rates, and college completion rates are also higher among students who enroll in charter schools. There is another benefit, competition. We don't have true school choice and won't get it anytime soon, but the presence of charter schools does provide some competition to the public schools. It encourages school leaders and teachers to improve their schools so that they are more attractive to parents wanting to give their children the best education they can receive. Charter schools don't deserve the criticism they are receiving these days from many of these candidates. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
God's power is made perfect in weakness. This is Jim Garlow. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth saying, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." When the odds seem stacked against you, maybe God has moved so that He'll get all the glory. God knew the hearts of the Israelites that they were going to take the glory if He hadn't intervened to whittle down their numbers and strength. He said, "I'm going to strip you down so much that when victory happens, you can't take any credit for it." There is a temptation within all of us to be glory hogs. But think about it. Without God, we have no air to breathe, no life to call our own, no universe. There's no getting around it. God gets all the glory. This is Jim Garlow. It's time to take a stand for what we believe as followers of Christ. There's more at wellversedworld.org.
Brian Fisher here. It's Free for All Friday on Focal Point. The president has been officially impeached. I want to know what you think Mitch McConnell should do. Joe Biden is happy to sacrifice your job to save the planet. Liz Warren wants billionaires to pay for everything. And a Democrat candidate for president explains exactly why Trump won. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, let me give you an example, folks. The number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. In spite of it all, Merry Christmas. Praise God. One of the reasons why it gives me a sinking feeling to have to say these things about anything calling itself Christianity today, when it's really pseudo-Christianity at best, or it's leftist Christianity at best, or it's not Christian at all. But you've got to call this stuff out for what it is. Let me give you another example. I picked up, because, you know, I'm back on Twitter, okay? But I'm tweeting under Stand Foundation instead of under my own name, because I'm still banned from Twitter as far as I know. They haven't notified me of any change, and it's been months now. I'd have to go back and check and see exactly what month it's been, but it's been 7 or 8 months now. So it's clear they were lying to me. They weren't suspending my account. They were ending it. They were doing away with it. But here's what, why this guy is allowed to tweet and I've been banned. He calls himself Bishop Talbert Swan, And this is a reply to Franklin Graham, who shared that Billy Graham voted for Donald Trump. But he said he believed in him, knew him, and voted for him, and believed that he was the man for this hour in history for our nation. So there, Christianity Today magazine, take that. Because remember, Billy Graham was one of the founders of Christianity Today. And that's the other thing that, you know, folks, doesn't it? It really irks me when people take an institution that was founded for one purpose and then twist it and pervert it to another. Think about the YMCA, the Young Men's Christian Association. You know, they don't want you to mention Christian now. Or the YWCA, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. Folks, this is a conscious, studious infiltration and infection of our institutions with far left, Marxist, socialist, communist, atheist, secularist, moral relativist thinking. So this is not Christianity that's being presented at all. And as far as President Donald Trump's past, let me just say this. For all of you listening to me right now, and I've said this about the founding fathers, I'll say it about Donald Trump because I think it applies. If any single one of us was to be judged only by one or two or three things that we may have done wrong in our lives, or that we may have said wrong in our lives, all of us would be disqualified from doing anything meaningful. We don't want that done to ourselves. But yet, notice how quick people are to want to do this to President Donald Trump. And they can't, they themselves couldn't withstand that kind of scrutiny. But, oh, but, you know, he said something 11 years ago. Yeah, he said something wrong 11 years ago. You go back far enough, guess what? I said something wrong, too. Okay? And probably the same is true for those of you listening to me right now, for all of us. But praise God, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's right. Listen, I'm not what I used to be, and it does not yet appear what I shall be. Okay? So please, you know, you apply that standard to anybody and nobody could withstand it. But here's what this so-called bishop said, writing to Franklin Graham. If your father voted for, and he calls him 46, he's actually 45. But if your father voted for him, knowing he was a pathological, lying, serially adultering rapist and unrepentant, and then uses a nasty term. This is the bishop uses a nasty term. Grabbing racist, that he was just as much a vile, racist, hypocritical, faux pas Christian as you are defending that vile, dishonorable, and then he misspells dishonorable too, despot. And you know what I think? I think everything he's trying to say about the president, as far as I'm concerned, he's proving that that's what he is. This Bishop Talbert Swan, by the nastiness of his language, by the hatred that is in it, and he's pointing the finger at Donald Trump. And guess what? As far as I'm concerned, Donald Trump, since he's been running for office and since he's been president, hadn't said anything that even comes anywhere close to as nasty as what this bishop says. But we're supposed to buy into that Donald Trump needs to go and replace it with what? People like this? No, thank you. The number is 888-589-8840. I think I got a moment to get this in. One other thing that I just want to throw out there for you to discuss, and you all can bring up anything today. It's Free for All Friday. Did you see the Pew Research poll shows something I've been saying all along, that black voters, especially black Christians, are not in agreement with the Democrat Party on moral and social issues. Well, duh, I've been saying that all along. And then the question becomes that, or I should say the issue that becomes, stop voting for them. Stop voting for them. Yeah, I mean, Pew points out they don't agree with them on marriage. They don't agree with them on abortion. They don't agree with them on the importance of faith in God in your life. They say about 80% of Democrats believe you don't need God to be a good moral person. But most blacks, about half at least half of black voters, believe that you need God in your life. Why do they? Well, we know why. It's a lot of indoctrination, a lot of nonsense, but we're going to break that stronghold too. 888-589-8840. Just thought I'd throw that out there, and I'll comment a little bit on that and other things as we get into our conversation. But yeah, we got time here in the second segment to get to some calls. So let's go right away to Bobby in Arizona. Bobby, welcome.
Hey, good morning. God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you, sir.
Wow, you know what? We need to go to what the Bible says. The truth. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. That's what it says.
Amen. That is exactly what it says, Bobby.
The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. And I live down in the South, and, you know, there's a lot of church members that have been in church all their life, but it's like the Apostle Paul says, they're just babes, they're carnal. But the Scripture says that that those who move on to perfection are those who, by reason of use, exercise their senses to discern between both good and evil. And, you know, a lot of Christian people don't even know what that means. And, you know, that's what we have up in Congress is a bunch of devils, sons and daughters of the devil. It's obvious. And the works of their fathers, what they do. That's what the truth says, you know.
Amen. And Jesus said, you know, they always try to make Jesus out to be someone who is always nice. Listen, Jesus was always loving, but that didn't mean he was always nice, because he told them, you are liars, just like your father, who was a liar from the beginning, and the deeds of your father you will do. That's pretty strong language. Bobby, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Todd, welcome. You've got about a minute, Todd. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
I was thinking about, I watched the whole impeachment inquiry and, you know, the articles of impeachment. And, I want to know how long this Nancy Pelosi thinks she can hold these articles in her hand without sending it over to the Senate, because I think she's trying to use it as leverage. And one more thing, brother. You know, God says that my children perish for the lack of knowledge. Mm. And this is what's going on in our country. We turn our back on him. And one other thing, you know, I read the Bible for a long time, and I think it's been given a bad rap. It's really a love story between a father and his disobedient children.
Mm. Amen. Todd, that I think does indeed sum it up, but you're right. The Bible does get a bad rap. First of all, they believe it's a lie. The left believes it's a lie, and that you shouldn't pay much attention to it at all. Or you can pick and choose what you like. Like Obama used to say, I don't pay much attention to the esoteric texts. And then he would tell you what the texts were that he thinks are important. So, you know, we'll say, well, why don't you just be God? And of course, some people thought he was. But look, the bottom line is that you cannot build a nation on the shifting sands of human whim. You cannot have the greatest nation on earth built on that. It's got to be built on what our founding fathers called self-evident truths. The God of nature, natural law, has given us revelation through nature and his word, and that's what we've got to follow. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
It was several years ago now that Jim Voss came out of service from the Second World War. In the service, he'd learned much about electronics. Many folks would have considered him a master in the field. At least his bosses thought he was pretty good. Jim Voss was working for a group of organized gamblers following that devastating war. He made good money. That's what most criminals, gamblers or not, are looking for. Jim got the jobs, such as wiretapping, and got the good payoffs. One night, Jim was waiting for a flight to St. Louis from Los Angeles and had some time to kill. Billy Graham was preaching in a crusade in Los Angeles, and by some quirk of fate, or rather, providence, Jim Voss wandered into the place where Dr. Graham was preaching. Seemingly indifferent to the words of the famed evangelist, Jim stood near the back of the hall. He didn't want to go too far inside. He was just curious and was planning on leaving as soon as the show was over. As he always does, Dr. Graham gave the invitation for those who would give their life to the carpenter from Nazareth to come forward during the singing of a hymn. As the crowd sang, a hand tapped Jim Voss on the shoulder, and he heard a voice speak. "Will you go forward with me?" the gentleman asked. In natural reaction, Jim Voss turned on him. "Lay off me, or I'll knock your head off," he blurted out. The soft-spoken man spoke again. "You can do anything you like to me, but that won't right things between you and God." It must have seemed like ages, but it was just a matter of seconds till Jim Voss took that first step toward the altar. Each step became easier. With emotion showing in his face, Jim walked down that aisle vowing to make a clean break with the past, to change things, to settle the matter between him and his Creator. At the altar that night, Jim put away the old Jim Voss and put on a new one. He went away from that meeting a changed man. His break with the past was almost as dramatic as that of the Jewish tent maker Paul. You know, there comes a time in every person's life when such a decision has to be made. He has to look at himself, ask himself some deep questions, and come face to face with the facts. The result isn't always like that of Jim Voss. Many times when the time comes for the decision, we just ignore it, pretending it isn't there, giving no thought to our Creator and our Carpenter. Back in the 1800s, James Russell Lowell wrote a poem. We've turned it into a hymn. "Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide, in the strife of truth and falsehood for the good or evil side. Then it is the brave man chooses, while the coward stands aside, till the multitude make virtue of the faith they had denied." You know, this could be your moment. For Jim Voss, the moment he made his decision was probably the last one he could have had. You see, the plane he didn't catch that night was met in St. Louis by gunmen who had orders to kill him. How many more chances do you have? Are you sure about that?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back, folks. The number is 888-589-8840. Yeah, you know, I really believe that we are seeing a sifting, too, that God is doing a sifting. The Word says God knows them that are His. And I'm sure all of you have had this experience. I've had people who presented themselves as Christians, and then as time went on, you realize, no, they're really not. Jesus said, "By their fruit shall you know them." And you start to see the fruit that they're dropping, and it's all poison. And I think we're witnessing a lot of that in our culture today. So let's go back to the telephones. Let's see. Thank you all for your patience, by the way. Let's go to Kathy in North Carolina. Kathy, welcome.
Oh, I'm so glad to get through. I love listening to your show. It is
Thank
really
you.
Great. I had a lot of things. Elizabeth Warren says that she is a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. And it's a wonder she can sit up there and say that she is a Catholic and step in that church and that roof don't cave in on her with all the stuff that she is doing. And when Obama took over, they had that, what was he, a witch doctor or whatever he was doing his thing in there. I think there's something a little left in there. And maybe Billy Graham or somebody needs to come cleanse it out to get rid of the rest of that. And I have another question, though. I mean, how is it that they have immunity to everything that they do? I mean, that's not right.
No, and Kathy, look, you make some excellent points, and you're absolutely right. You know, and look, I'm not a Catholic, but and please forgive that this may sound a little bit condescending or cliche, but I have some very, very good friends who are. They love God. They love this country. They are committed to their faith. They are pro-life. They are pro-marriage. They are trying to their very best ability to do what is right in the sight of God. And when somebody like Nancy Pelosi stands up and says, I'm a Catholic, and, you know, you hear the same thing from all these leftists, I'm a Catholic. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to have it both ways. They're trying to get whatever political advantage there is to being able to name themselves a Catholic while at the same time kicking the church in the teeth in terms of the principles that it teaches its adherents to follow. So please, to me, it's blasphemy. It's blasphemy when Pelosi says, I'm praying for Donald Trump. Oh, that is, she's using God's name in vain, because this woman couldn't care less about God. She's one of the most avid baby killers in the land. And then she's going to stand up and say, I'm a Catholic and I pray for the president. Yeah, right. Don't even get me started on that one. But thank you for the call, Kathy. Let's go to William in Texas. William, you're on.
Hey, Brother Jackson. I just wanted to drop a theory on you. We know that Joe Biden is basically just a clown. He's a buffoon. He's never really going to go all the way. But the reason he's in and the reason he's going to stay in as long as possible is that any kind of effort made into the corruption in Ukraine that's associated with him and his son, they're going to cry that there's some kind of campaign tampering or Ukraine collusion. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a tactic. And the more that is brought out, like what Giuliani has been bringing out and showing how many billions of dollars that we've loaned them have just vanished.
Mm-hmm.
We can see why the Democrats are struggling so hard to demonize the president, because they are just rotten to the core.
William, they are always railing about the rich, and you are right. I've said this on this program, this book I'm reading right now called Secret Empires. It points out these Democrats who are always crying about the rich this and the rich that, and they have too much. They've got their hands full of corrupt money. And that's and I think when the president asked that question, I think part of the reason why they went after him is I think they were thinking, you know what? We got to stop him now. He is really touching the third rail. He's really getting to some deep stuff, and we can't let him go any further with that because they're deep in corruption. I mean, you're right. Billions of dollars have changed hands. I don't know how rich Hunter Biden is. I know one thing. He had no money before his father became president. And by the way, they haven't even mentioned this, but John Kerry's stepson, Hines, is also involved with Hunter Biden. The two of them, they've been using Hines' money and Biden's influence to cut deals with foreign governments that are totally corrupt and self-dealing. So, yeah, you're right. I think they are scared out of their wits that this stuff is going to really begin to come out. And I hope that this U.S. attorney who's investigating this, I hope that he will get to the bottom of this stuff, because I think we are going to be a lot of people are going to be shocked when they see just how deep they had their hands in the till. So listen, William, I think you are, your theory is on point. Let's go to Mac in Georgia. Mac, welcome.
Thank you, Brother Bishop. I appreciate you taking my call. I think you can remember back when Hillary's convention booed God out like everything, the word God, when they was started talking up on the stage about it. Well, I think we should have, many years ago, started saying Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Amen, Mac. You'll get no argument from me. In fact, don't forget our Christmas buttons. I ordered a bunch of them, gave them out to my church members. They're giving them out to other people. Because, look, you know, folks, this is America. This is what we've always believed. You know, I tell people, you can be a Buddhist. You can be a Hindu. You can be a Muslim here. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to treat you badly because you believe something else. But don't try to change who we are. This is culturally a Christian nation. So fine. Worship whatever you want to worship, whoever you want to worship, but don't worship anything. But don't come here telling us, oh, don't mention Christ. That's offensive. Don't mention Jesus. Please. You know, we had enough of that nonsense. You know, what they're trying to do is to get us to deny who we are. And I'm not having it. I'm just not having it. We are a Christian nation. We follow a Judeo-Christian ethic and worldview. And if you don't like that, get out. But on the other hand, because we are a Christian nation, we believe in freedom of conscience. We don't want to try to force people to believe something that in their hearts they don't want to believe. But don't try to make us lay aside our belief because you think that Christianity is whatever they think about it these days, whatever the left wants to say about it. It's the white man's religion. It's the religion of the oppressor. They just come up with all kinds of crazy nonsense because the one thing they don't want to deal with is that they are lost and in need of salvation. Folks, years ago, I used to do Bill Maher's program when Bill Maher was on ABC, and he had a program called Politically Incorrect. Some of you may remember that before he went to HBO. I've never done HBO. I was invited one time, but that's so nasty and vulgar, and he's such a nasty, vulgar individual that I felt it would be beneath me as a minister to go that on that. But Politically Correct, on Politically Incorrect, they couldn't curse and they couldn't do stuff that they'll do on HBO. But anyway, I was on there one time, and you know, guess who I was on as a guest with? Kathy Griffin, Samuel L. Jackson, and I forget who the other people were. And I was talking about, of course, I'm the only minister, and so therefore I'm the center of attention because I'm telling people about Jesus Christ. And Kathy Griffin says, "You mean to tell me that you're telling all of us that if we don't accept your Jesus, that we're lost?" And folks, I said, I'm not only telling you in this audience, I'm telling everybody watching on television, I'm telling the whole world that there's only one way of salvation, and his name is Jesus Christ, and without him, you will go to hell. Now, they didn't like hearing that. They got, really upset. You know what? Maybe they'll get saved.
So we're the ones who teach our young boys that women can be relied upon.
Mom, you have a lot of influence with your son. Here's Dr. Meg Meeker on Focus on the Family Minute.
That women are compassionate and we will be there for people. We are the comfort. You know, we're the comfortable place, and we are the people who, we hope, will always be a steady presence in their lives. So we teach that to boys when they're very young, and we want to be the people they can always rely on. And a son's relationship with his mother in the first, 7 years of life is really critical, because we teach boys that femininity and womanhood is a good thing, and he can depend on it. It doesn't mean he's going to depend on it for the rest of his life, but that women can give him a lot of security.
More from Dr. Meeker at FamilyMinute.org.
2019 is closing fast, and maybe you're thinking about how to round out your charitable giving for the year. I am Jim Stanley, General Manager for AFR, and I'm asking you to consider American Family Radio for your gift. We thank God for the faithful and generous supporters who have sacrificed to help us continue to inform, equip, activate, and encourage listeners. Thank you for all you do to make what we do possible. Merry Christmas from American Family Radio.
Learn more and donate at AFR.net.
Hey, Target. You thought we were done?
Did you think we would give up?
Well, of course not. We still stand strong with our belief that men do not belong in the women's restrooms or changing areas. It's absurd. We should not have to walk in your restrooms with the fear of someone of the opposite sex walking in on us.
Together, we will stop this open door policy.
Help us by signing the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious, what is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And folks, I'll be very, very honest. Of course, you know, we're a nonprofit network. The network does not endorse candidates. And so I'm not using the network to make an endorsement of President Donald Trump as a candidate. But we do endorse principles. We do endorse ideas. We do endorse truth. And I really believe this with all my heart, that God is using this man at a critical moment in our history to do some things that desperately needed to be done. And the people that we may have chosen or thought would be able to do it were not the people who could actually get it done, because I'll be upfront with you. I didn't start out thinking that Donald Trump would be president. I didn't even think he was going to run. Then I didn't think he would be elected. I didn't think he would win the primary. But I'll tell you something. I really was praying about it and watching the situation and thinking, you know, I think God is doing something here. And ultimately came to the conclusion that he didn't consult me. You know, God has a way of doing things. He doesn't consult with us. You know what I mean? I found out God doesn't need advice. You know, I've never had God come to me and say, well, son, I'm really kind of stumped on this one. What do you think I ought to do? <You know? laughs> Oh, thank you, Jesus, that it's the other way around. I'm often going to him and saying, you know, Lord, I'm not quite sure what to do in this situation. Lord, give me guidance. Lead me. Show me. But it never works the other way around, folks. So I really came to the conclusion, you know, God is doing something. And it's really ultimately not about this president. It's about this country and what God wants to do for his people. You know, and I'm going to come right back to the lines, but I'll just say this very quickly. There has never been an instance, you can't find one in Scripture, in which God calls somebody for themselves, to serve themselves, to help themselves. God calls people to help his people, to serve his people, and to serve them as he, God, directs. So I really believe that what we're witnessing before our very eyes is a move of God that's called this nation back from the brink and use what most of us would have probably considered a very unlikely vessel. But you know what? God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Let's go back to the lines. Thank you all for your patience. Oh, my goodness, you've been waiting for a while. Let's go to Christian in Texas. Christian, welcome. Christian, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. Bishop, I have two questions. Please, just bear with me a second. I'm driving. Number one question is this. The so-called Christian evangelicals that are accusing and attacking Donald Trump, they act as if they know the mind of God. To me, they haven't actually read the history of Christianity, because if they had read the history of Christianity, they would know Saul, which is Apostle Paul that we know today. I don't believe that Donald Trump would have done or said anything that can equate to what Apostle Paul did to Christians, yet God chose him to be the writer of New Testament. So now these people are acting like they know the mind of God. Do they know the mind of God? Do they know whether God is going to change Donald Trump tomorrow to become the next Apostle Paul? So why are they castigating him the way they are doing? These are a bunch of women haters, body killers, and homosexual Christian evangelicals. Now they're going to represent the rest of us. My second question, Bishop, is this: Obama,
okay.
Obama really amputated or attempted to amputate this country, and so this country is bleeding. Profusely, this country is bleeding because of what Obama did. Would there be any kind of consequences for what Obama did? Would there be any consequences to him? That's my question. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, listen, Christian, thank you. I think you're here again, man. You're right on target. And the answer is, I don't know, but I'll tell you something. How many of you have ever heard of a man named Marty Nesbitt? I guarantee you very few have. Well, here again, this book I'm reading is pointing out that Marty Nesbitt was Barack Obama's best friend, went everywhere he went on any kind of recreational activity, started out when Barack Obama got elected with nothing and ended up a multimillionaire, bought a house in Hawaii to be near Obama for $9 million, Marty Nesbitt. I think there's a lot for President Obama to answer for morally and economically. I think Barack Obama did immense damage to this country, immense damage. And frankly, I think it's part of the challenge of President Trump is to clean that stuff up. And I think that's why he's facing such backlash, because people thought their little peaceful communist revolution was on a roll, and Hillary Clinton was going to continue to Saul Alinskyite the country. And before you know it, you know, we could be a little Bolshevik paradise here. And Donald Trump messed it all up. So it depends on whether at some point an enterprising prosecutor begins to look at the machinations of the Obama administration. I think when they do, I think there is a whole lot of corruption to find there. Again, once again, on the people who talk about there comes a point when you've got enough money. But I tell you what, how's Barack Obama and Michelle doing with enough money, huh? They're probably worth about $100 million now. So, Christian, thank you for the call. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to try to get every single one of you in. So let's go right to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, welcome.
God bless you, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for speaking the truth. I love your show. And listening to your show today, I'm reminded of the verse in Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And to apply that today, I say woe to those demoncrats. I call them demoncrats. And I'm sure this verse has been referred to on your show before, but I think it needs to be repeated.
Well, look, it has been, and you know, it's interesting. You call them demoncrats. I've used that myself. Of course, the left goes crazy when you do. but I think you're absolutely right. And we are living, I've said it many times, we're living in Isaiah 5 times. where people have put light for darkness and darkness for light and bitter for sweet and good for evil. And it's just the way it is. And so when we stand up for what is good and right, oh, you bigots, you haters, you narrow-minded crazies, you Neanderthals, you barbarians. And of course, when somebody stands up for something that the Bible calls an abomination, perverse, wicked, evil, oh, that's just great. That is just so wonderful. I mean, so that's, you're right. That's where we are. Let's go to Matthew in Oklahoma. Matthew, welcome.
Hey, sir, how are you doing? I was just going to say the oath of office that everybody swears, whether they're military or Congress, is always to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution, to include the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and all the others. And the Democrats that are doing this stuff and even the judges and Ralph Northam and all the rest of these guys, they are committing treason against the U.S. Constitution because their very intent is to destroy particularly the Second Amendment in Virginia, but other places, the First Amendment and all the other amendments, to take away our free speech rights and our right to due process. You know, with evidence, as evidenced by what they're doing to the president. So, thank you,
Matthew,
sir. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. You are right. I'm going to try to get you all in. Let's go to Patricia in Texas. Patricia, welcome.
Yes.
You're on, Patricia.
Oh, hi. This is Patricia. I just wanted to remind people that he hasn't been impeached yet because it has to go through the Senate. And the news reporters keep putting out there that he's been impeached. And all it is to confuse the American public that aren't aware of all of the laws and things like that. And also, I guess, for the people that are not, you know, really educated on governmental, you know, how it's run.
Right. Well, Patricia, they want to smear him. And that's they want to smear him in the eyes of the American people. They want to make him look bad. These mainstream media people really hate this president. And so you're right, Patricia. Technically, the impeachment process is a twofold process, an investigation in the House and a trial in the Senate. And he's not impeached until the Senate has had a trial or dismissed the charges and exonerated the president. But Nancy Pelosi is playing games by not sending the articles up, these bogus articles, I might add, up to the Senate so that they can keep this as a cloud over President Trump's head. Okay, let's go to Jewel in Tennessee. Jewel, you're on. You've got about 45 seconds, Jewel, but take a shot at it.
Okay. Sustainable Development, Agenda 21 and New World Order. Nancy Pelosi's name is right at the top. People, please do your homework and look up Sustainable Development Agenda 21. We're being had.
God bless you, Joe. And all of that, folks, those are UN initiatives that are really trying to take us. And I know, we're not talking about tin foil hat stuff here. This is real stuff. Those are all concepts that come out of the UN. And while the federal government under President Trump would never adopt this stuff, what has happened is local governments have plugged into these concepts and are using them. Believe it or not, folks, sometimes you just think, no, that can't possibly be right. There can't possibly be local governments grabbing a hold of UN concepts that lead us to one world government. But there are. There just are. Because that's what they believe in. That's what the left believes in. Well, look, folks, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful time this coming week. And in the meantime, God bless you. We love you here at AFR. Thank you for praying for us and supporting us. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.